Hello and welcome to Campaign Comrades. Mike is leading the podcast today. That is me. I'm your
Mike is
host.
on the mic.
We're doing, Mike is on the mic. We are doing a fun one here because everyone
there's
hated
a there's a double entendre there too. MC is MCing. Like we're
MC on the mic.
Welcome to our non-Pokemon episode. We are reviewing Cassette Beasts. I don't think anyone is
Mike not so cleverly getting past the no more Pokemon allowed.
I kind of wish that we confirmed that we could have just done like any Pokemon, like instead of just Cassette Beasts, because then I could have just filibustered with Digimon the whole time and taken over the podcast.
Your dream would finally happen.
Yo, this game has a 10 out of 10 rating on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I get it. I know why it has a 10 out of 10 rating on Steam.
But I feel like I'm taking crazy pills in the sense that like I don't like this game, but it's largely because I don't like this genre of game. I just fundamentally don't like the gameplay loop, so that when I see the loop unfolding
in front of me,
it makes me mad. But like Andrew and I were talking about this just before we started recording, was like it made me feel crazy in that like I was just trying to look up story elements, and all you can find are reviews, and they're all like universally glowing.
Like game of the year.
and it's just like Pokemon fans are just so starved for content that is remotely decent that, you know, they will.
It has the severely roasted. It's glasses. Also on Steam, and Pokemon fans who only have a PC have only been emulating Pokemon games and could finally have their Pokemon.
And to that point, like, The 2D, 3D, whatever.
It's straight up whatever graphics. The fucking 3DS Pokemon of like 2014 through 18.
Yeah, exactly. And like people have been craving that, especially with the doo-doo graphics of Scarlet and Violet. You know,
I mean, so it doesn't present bad. Like there's nothing in the presentation that's like,
oh,
I got mild Animal Crossing vibes out of it.
Okay, I'm gonna disagree. I think Pokemon looks better. I like the animations better. I think they're cuter monsters and look cooler.
Oh, sure, but like, you know, these are supposed to be like more like demonic monster or like built from the island.
There's actually a lot of there's like a lot of sprinkling of like trying to be Persona in here.
Yeah,
there is some social elements, like you have,
and like the fusion aspect and the
companions.
Yeah. What one thing that I really liked about this game, you know, I guess we could go to some of the mechanics of it and walk through that and the mechanics that we did not like, but and maybe the plot a bit, though none of us have finished.
I couldn't tell you what the plot is. Like, again, I tried to do my due diligence and like research what it was.
I mean, when a game tells me,
I mean, you're just trying to get off the island.
Well, yeah,
but like the plot.
There's more than that. There is more than that.
I mean, yeah. So you let's you know, let's.
I just wanted to say
the beginning.
All I had to say about the matter is that, from the perspective of plot, when the game tells me don't think too hard about why this works,
it just works.
I'm not going to think too hard about the plot. Like, it's intentional. It's, again, it's targeting Pokemon players.
See, to me,
Pokemon
to me,
players
I
smash
go the,
through text
I go
and
the
don't
exact,
read things.
I go the exact opposite route. When it tells me not to think about it, I think about it even more. It's like, if you don't want me to think about it, like, don't bring it up, you know? And that was one thing I was looking into. And apparently there's only some very vague level of answering and follow through with explaining the whole recording and cassette thing of why that's the catching method, they only like touch on it in like a post game. It's like it's behind a post game battle, yeah, but with have with we ever optional learned dialogue. By
Pokeballs?
I mean, Pokeballs. It's like, you know, someone actually described
it. Lore Master, don't they explain it in Pokemon Legends?
Yeah, Arceus, it's like a cybernetic like
Pokeballs.
I mean, yeah. You know, it's but it's like it's, how a, long. It's a piece of tech. And actually, I saw somebody describe it that like it. Professor Oak like actually goes into like a whole explanation of it at one point. And yeah, of course, it requires in some level anime, some huh? level of, you know, suspension of disbelief. But like someone like explained it how like it that has a much more kind of native intuition behind it, because they look like the little gacha balls that like particularly people in Japan, you know, you go to you know, gacha coin machine,
you get a claw machine,
put in 100 yen and you get a little ball and you open it up and there's a little plushie inside, right? Yeah. You know, so like, yeah, there's some level of, you know, dimensionality that you need to kind of wave away, that yeah, they're being like, they are basically turned into Digimon, they're digitized and put into the ball. I was gonna say that
the catch mechanics in Cassette Beasts are actually very similar to how Digimon can handle some of their catch mechanics.
You're recording these things,
yeah, and where the encounters count as scanning the creature.
But like the explanation they give is like really is really flimsy, and it's something like, you know, and it goes into what the plot is that this world and these archangel big bosses are like these manifestations of human
evil,
of like human ideas. They're like human ideas made manifest, and this world that you guys are, all the characters have been sucked into, because there's like multiple worlds and timelines and alt histories, and it's like this kind of nexus point where all these things kind of come together. And that like the recording is just because it is, because it works just because humans think it does, that they're we have a strong enough will to think that it will work here, and it does. I mean, I'm just like, I'm just doing the jerk off motion.
Listen, you know? when I put my headphones in and I turn on my favorite Kendrick Lamar song, I get the N-word pass. I don't. That's the same thing, isn't it? Like, I thought
I transform into Kendrick Lamar when I play his music.
Yeah,
dude, it's okay. That's my little diatribe though, because I wanted to bring up the same thing. It's like as soon as it said, "Don't think about it," I'm like, that's all I'm gonna think about now. You fucking fool.
Yeah, I definitely do side with you on like, if you don't want me to think about it, just don't even address it. Don't point to the thing you don't want me to think about.
Yeah. Very dumb.
I had Matt like in my head when that came up, and I truly thought that it was because they were like, here Pokemon, Pokemon Swan.
There's a lot of just stuff in this mash game.
Through.
No, like, there's a lot of stuff in this game.
We're gonna guess that you fools Pokemon didn't even see that line of dialogue. You just skipped through it so fast.
Yeah, yeah, probably. I probably didn't see it.
No, that's they do it. Honest. So like when you go to the camps and you want to rest, and she like talks to you and like asks you questions, that's 100% set up so that if you just like mash through the dialogue, you like answer wrong.
Good, punish them.
But so
what,
is this game a Dark Souls because it has bonfires?
I did think that as I sat at the bonfire.
It had a stamina bar too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
dude. Apparently it does get better, but like it was so bad to not make me want to deal with it. I think at the root of why I didn't want to engage with the rest of the loop in the mechanics was how tedious early game traversal is.
Yeah.
It's not a huge map, but it's so fucking slow.
And until you get cassettes and can like fill out a little bit of your team, like there's so much constantly like running back to rest.
Yeah.
And then even when you get to that point, like there's, it takes so long to level up, and you're like, there's no way to really grind in the way there is Pokemon because of the mechanic that I actually liked about the battling, that it slowed down encounters, was the action points instead of moves with just PP points. So I like that, like, you had to build up to your bigger moves to be able to use them
Yeah,
rather than just
I
like
want to
going
talk.
in and
I want to
one-shotting.
talk about its combat at some point, but I think we'll save that for a little bit later because it's, I think, a bit of a longer discussion that about like there's this sensation, and people talk about it a lot
Let's get into that.
that there's deeper. Well, I want to talk about some of the more basic stuff first, like again the traversal, the world design, that kind of stuff. But there's just something about like the combat. It's just like it appears to be more in depth and tactical, but it isn't. It still isn't. It's because there's like the
Oh no,
interaction system. It's just
it's
like
still Pokemon.
I sent Matt earlier like the table of like the type matchups thing, like where it lists all the different
Yeah.
types and what's strong and weak. And I'm just like, nope, not learning that. Not doing that. I saw, and dude, it's like how tactical do you have to be? When I saw I was like trying to find story stuff and couldn't, and all I could find was like a video just of the ending and like of the final boss fight. And it's just they do this one fusion that creates that gives them a poison and a burn status effect, and they just passively killed the boss in like super fast.
Yeah, in true Pokemon fucking fan fashion, they're toxic stalling.
Yeah, exactly. That's truly what it is. It is a toxic stall guts burn to get like double boosted attack that they never use and just fucking let
No,
let
that's how
the
you know
enemy
it's
die.
designed for Pokemon fans. The real question,
Truly.
I think we haven't brought this up yet. Who was everyone's starter?
The sheep.
Ghost Sheep.
Is that the one that's floating, right? It's kind
Yeah.
of floating. Yeah. Ba sheep, is that what it's called? Something like that. Yeah.
I think so.
I chose that
Who
one, I
evolves
think.
into Woolite?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't get that far.
I think it has different evolutions.
Yeah, there's a diverting evolution.
Yeah.
Becomes fabric softener. That's hilarious.
I think Andrew, you had the sheep as well.
Yeah, I did. I went sheep too.
Did we
Ghost
all go
sheep
sheep?
supremacy.
What were the
Yeah.
other ones, and like
I
why?
don't even remember.
Like, and
I
say
just looked it
why
up
did.
because I didn't remember there being a choice. But when she asks you if you like spooky or sweet,
Yeah.
spooky gives you ghost sheep and sweet gives you a candy monkey.
Candy monkey's kind of cool.
I had to go spooky. Spooky always.
Yeah, of course.
I
We were
did
in
make
like a we were in Lost. Of course, you had to go
my player
spooky.
character an old bald man in a skirt.
Me too. Dude, me too. Not
I made my
I didn't
player
go
character
skirt, but I had
Goku.
old bald man.
And
Hilarious.
I wanted to take a screenshot of the first time you like interact with like the next character that you meet. And it's you get the "Hi, I'm Goku." Is the actual dialogue?
My guy was wearing a skirt and a wife beater with just
I had
completely
an
bald.
apron on.
My guy just,
I had the poncho and I made it orange and blue because it looked like the gi.
a stained undershirt and a skirt. Not even a
I
kilt,
named
a
my
skirt.
character Ash.
I don't even remember what I did. Because let's be honest here, I'm going to be fully upfront and transparent with the audience here. I played up to the refund window on Steam and then yoink, sent that thing back.
If you look at my playtime, I'm at like
1.9
100.
hours.
Yeah. Because
I
on my
did
end,
look at your play time.
I can see it at the minutes. I'm at 118.
Precision.
Nice. Are you going to return it, or did you already?
I haven't decided yet. It's sitting in purgatory awaiting its fate.
Yeah, you have. Don't forget, you have to do it within 2 weeks of purchase as well.
Oh, I know.
Just don't let that slip away. Yeah, Andrew bought it on Switch, so he can't even do that.
No, I'm doing my part, just contributing to indie studios, regardless of if I like it.
Consider it a donation.
Yeah.
It's not that I hate the game. It's not that I hate the studio. It's just that I've decided that I hate games that ate Pokemon this hard.
It's not even that. It's for me, it's like Ben said, I just do not like this gameplay loop. It just is not something I find enjoyable. It's built to be done while you're doing other things, and like that's just not the experience that I am going for when I game.
Like someone mentioned it about like the when you realize
it's a game designed to be played while you're watching a TikTok that also has Subway Surfers in it.
Like when you're trying to like get tapes and shit, when I like just like realize the loop of like I need to get the pencils to heal, I need to get more tapes, and then like you can't just get tapes, you got to get materials to trade for the tapes, and
my biggest complaint
you gotta go around and catch
complicated the money system.
Yeah.
There'd be multiple resources rather than just like, one singular source of money that you get.
I was like, this is going to be so much back and forth for something that I don't like, and to have to build these things up. And again, it was what it really came down to for me was the traversal, the time that was going to be spent in between those steps of the loop was just like, no, this is too tedious to me. I do not want to invest my time in this.
They get a plus one for no random encounters.
Yeah, you can
see. That makes the traversal less frustrating because you can see and go around and avoid the enemies. I enjoyed baiting before that Archangel fight in the beginning. Like when you're walking over there, there's an enemy who roams in that mm-hmm. corridor, and I baited him to go across the air channel mm-hmm. and go to the other side and then loop back.
One thing that I did not like that they had that was an old Pokemon holdover was the random battles. There were so many battles if you walked by any of the
NPCs.
Yeah, the NPC battles. I wish they did it like Pokemon does now, that you have to go up to them. So like if you went up to them to talk to them, you know, thinking they have some information, then you battle, and then like leave the automatic NPC battles for, you know, certain like story or lack thereof bosses, but like, you know, teaching you mechanics or whatever, because that was what was killing me, having to heal after those battles, especially when they had like they would have multiple mons. It was just so fucking annoying. And that was what was taking me forever.
So I'm kind of curious to talk about the leveling system in this game, because I think it's kind of self-defeating to the game's entire purpose, in that you don't actually have to use different cassettes, because you can change over any moves as long as like they're learnable. So there's no, you don't really have to have this attachment to multiple cassette monsters. Like you essentially can choose one and main it through the whole game and give it everything it needs, or main two, you know, for the type of specific abilities if that you need. But I found it interesting that they chose to make it
Yeah, part of that is that your core level is tied to you, the player, not the levels of the monsters.
Exactly.
But the monsters do have the star system.
Yeah, they do have some level of upgrading, but like it's not a full.
And I think like even like strength is tied to that.
No, some stats do get boosted from their star rating, but like the core leveling is around you, the player. So it's supposed to be about, like, you know, it's supposed to free you up to use whatever beast you want to, not be stuck with like the those that you have in your party all the time.
Yeah, the starter not, that is, you know, level 100, and the rest of the team is, you know,
and not your fives. Not your your 20 Bidoof that you've got stored somewhere else, you know.
Yeah, but that level 20 Bidoof has all of the HMs on him, so.
Which aren't even a thing anymore, really.
I know. The continued dumbification of Pokemon.
I did like that it was stickers that were the...
I will give it some credit there. I like anything that doesn't penalize you for, or at least encourages the experimentation of moves and stuff. Like, it's basically letting you respec at any time at no cost. I just don't get the why cassettes. Like, it seems like it's like they wanted to make this you know, thematic gimmick that runs throughout the whole thing. And then so much of it is just kind of left wanting of like, so, why they chose that as the mechanic.
I think Matt picked up on it. That is like a Digimon scanning mechanic, but I'm chalking it up to why cassettes is that it's an indie studio. They're trying to be like hipster 90s with it.
Yeah, we've skipped past hipster vinyl.
No, right. But they didn't. But like, that's the thing is, like, if you're gonna do that, I'm totally fine with it. But like, see it through, you know, to its full.
But I think it's just an aesthetic.
Like, someone brought up one that's like it's so, because it's like these little simple things that just then just pull you out. Like that, they call them fusions. It should be something like a mashup. You know, keep it music.
Mixtape.
Yeah, keep it like mixtape. Yeah, keep it like, you know, music themed, like fusion. It's like the fusion could be a term for, you know, fusing genres, but it's more common with food. But like it's just like there's a lack of follow through with a lot of
I'm not saying that they did the aesthetic properly, but I think it was more an aesthetic thing over, and it's truly just meant to be like a scanning function, like, and you know, this is the technology aesthetic that this world has.
Well, totally for an indie studio doing something different, quirky, weird, silly, but like, you know, commit. Jesus Christ. Yeah, commit to the bit.
I agree.
Commit to the fucking
I think
bit.
Mashups would have been a much cooler nomenclature for the fusions.
I don't know. I had seen stuff about this.
I have a question
this.
For the class.
Okay.
I've been sitting on this question since I started playing. And it's...
Like 2 hours ago?
No, I played a couple days ago.
Earlier this week. I think it was like Andrew was streaming and Matt was in chat and he's like, Cassette Beast has a billion achievements. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
No, it has like 123 trophies or something like that. It's mind-boggling too many.
Because it's like picking up every monster or like doing, stupid.
Yeah, is it just a trophy for each monster?
No, I mean, there's more than just that.
Okay, go, teacher, ask your question.
So my question to the class is, how do we feel when there's something we love, a genre we love, a type of game we love, and then games so directly try to copy it? Is like, is that something we enjoy? Do we sit here and do we seek those out, those direct copies? Because I sit in the camp of when I'm playing something that is so directly trying to be something else that it just makes me wish that I was playing something else instead.
Yeah, there's the... It's kind of like an age-old adage, like, you know, don't remind me of your... People often refer in movies, like, don't, like, reference a better movie while watching your inferior movie. It's just going to make me want to watch the better movie. And it's the same thing with games. Like, for me, it's like, if they're going to go that hard, you gotta execute, right? It's gotta be flawless. But like,
it's like clearly there's a vacuum in the Pokemon-esque type game community, those fans right now.
Hey, you know,
they flocked to Pow World when that came out. Early access still. Like they clearly flocked to this based on, you know, reviews and quality. Like, I'm not gonna take away anyone's enjoyment of this game. I can see where they're gonna find their fun. You know, just, you know, it's Pokemon on Steam. You can play it on your computer, and it's not didn't require you to go to those sites that make you feel weird. And sometimes you're looking at the links and you're looking there and you're like, that's a lot of letters. You sure?
A Nintendo representative isn't gonna show up at your house.
Yeah. And delete all the files off your computer.
I don't know, they might.
Your porn.
They might.
I mean, they have been.
They just might.
Not for playing cassette beats, though.
No, exactly.
Matt, to answer, I think it's a fair question, but I also you have to either, I think, execute, or you have to iterate in a new, at least some aspect of it, in an interesting way. If you're not
and doing, do that well.
Yeah.
Right. So there's the current comparison in my mind is currently playing in Stellar Blade, and then people talking about that, like, yeah, it's trying to be Nier Automata so hard.
Nier Kiro, to be precise.
Yeah, and it's like, maybe, like, yeah, some of the story beats, like, are, it's actually the reveals are actually more akin to Replicant. In the, oh, we're not actually the humans after all, spoiler. But that, again, was pretty obvious. I'm not really worrying about spoiling that. But the combat is so much better, right?
Yes.
The combat is yeah, I'm not saying it's the deepest combat in the world, but it's a deeper combat system, and it performs and plays beautifully. So it does something worse, the story, which it's directly aping, but it does other things much better. So it gets the pass.
I just think it's a double-edged sword. You know, yeah, like one of those games.
It's a hard line to walk.
Yeah. And I think, you know, both what Ben and Andrew have said, like, you know, it's either a new iteration done well. And so
I feel like you have to add something like genuine and meaningful to the formula to make it stand out. Is usually how I draw my line.
Well, and I think, you know, we've touched on all different aspects of, you know, ways that you could do that. Like, one way would be just, you know, making a different and more unique story. Another way is, you know, adding a different mechanic, or like making the battle mechanics better.
I always felt that Kaylee's eyes were dead. Dead inside when she was talking to us.
Yeah, I think that, you know, adding something new that in any of those aspects, plot, battle mechanics, you know, even like graphics and visuals, I think that makes a, you know, that could make it good, but it, you know, it has to be done well. And it's, you know, a matter of in cassette beasts here, is that, did you just want to play Pokemon, or did you want to just shut it off because you had hate the gameplay loop like half our comrades?
But like, I will say, like, you know, as I've, I think, said before, and Andrew agreed with me, that like, I don't dislike this as a unique gameplay loop, right? What I dislike about this as a gameplay loop is not unique to this game. Yeah, it's maybe exacerbated by that one problem of traversal, but like, my major question to you, Mike, is like, why do you not like this but still like Pokemon? You know, what about this was so off-putting? Because
Pokemon has the gun to his head.
The gun to his childhood self. Yeah.
No, it's literally sitting there, and it's like, if I have to like reconcile with the demise of Pokemon, Nintendo's gonna take my childhood away, because you're like, oh, you don't like Pokemon anymore, you dumb bitches. Fine, no more Pokemon ever.
Or is it we're just taking our ball and going home? No more baby games for you piss babies. You cried too much.
Stop selling the cards.
Now you get nothing.
Or like, actually, the more Nintendo move would be making in like Japan only. It'd be like only Japanese Nintendo fans truly appreciate and understand.
Only they are the good boys and girls.
Amazing.
But yeah, to answer your question, I think part of it is, you know, what Matt said is that this was a game that was like, I would just rather play Pokemon. And part of it was, you know, getting over
the Pal World. Getting over Pal World in comparison.
But even that had similar issues in that, like, there was no way to, like, to grind to a level that without spending an exorbitant amount of time. Grind up to a level that, you know, makes the game playable, or like, you know, in Cassette Beasts, like the issues with the resources, the issues with, you know, the act, you know, physical traversal.
Yeah, how huge you that actively map feel is. Bad when you do one fight that like wipes out like a good chunk of your health, and you have to go back and rest immediately and use more resources.
Exactly. And you have to use resources to rest. Like, you know, that was what really stopped me from continuing forward with it. If it didn't have those issues, I would find playing it more and, you know, seeing it through. But I wasn't going to spend that time fucking grinding out on a game that, you know, you should be able to just like have fun and play through. It should be an easy baby game. That is the, you know, the genre and the mechanics.
Yeah. So the comparison again with Pal World, because that's the new hotness for we have Pokemon at home with guns and hookers and blackjack. Like that again, that one added the survival game mechanics. Like there's a lot of survival crafting shit going on in that game.
That's like the grind of that game, right? It's like that's and why people kind of vibe with it is because survival game fans are also sickos who will
it's a Venn diagram of two very sick fan bases.
Yeah.
That was basically like, where I was going with my thesis.
For both of them, it's like, oh no, man discovers gameplay loop and hates game. You know, it's like, you know, they're, you know, discovers that like, you know, gameplay loop exists, you know, and therefore hates game. It's just like, no, I'm just not a fan of these loops. Like, I feel them like that they're particularly predatory on a certain part of my brain. And that, like, I just, like, I'm mentally strong enough to be, like, no, I'm just going to put it down rather than engage with it. Because it does itch at the kind of the OCD part of me that's, like...
Collect them all.
Like, oh, my God, I need to get it all. I need to, like, you know, build up these things. I need to hyper-focus on, you know, building out my settlement and figuring out this supply chain and... all these things. And yeah, I got to go and collect every beast so I am prepared for every scenario. And it's just like this kind of anxiety building loop that I just find very off-putting. And again, I have the fortitude, the self-respect to be like, no, I'm going to go do something that challenges me in a different way. I like skill-based challenge and intellectual challenge, not compulsive challenge.
One of my coworkers was explaining We were talking about Monster Collectors, and he brought up, I think it was Pokemon Black and White 2 is the one he was referencing.
Mm-hmm.
That he, like, he wanted to, you know, finish everything, complete the Pokedex. Like, that was his, like, big goal, and he was going to do that with that game. He's like, he got down to the last, like, X number of, like, friendship-based random evolutions. He's like, and I grinded it for, like, 2 straight weeks and, like, got nowhere and was like, I'm not gonna, like, continue to put time into something that, like, has no, like, definite conclusion and, like, purpose and can't get, it's not like, oh, get to level 64 and they evolve. It's not like, oh, I have, like, I just have to get to that level and then I've got the completed Pokedex type of deal.
Yeah, but he could have just done an easy Google and figured out, you know, what amount of items he needed to give that Pokemon to earn its friendship and then level it up to evolve. So that's just an easy
clap, get good.
But I mean, at the same time, if you don't want to play with guides in similar manner.
I mean.
Yeah, that's fair.
I still think that, you know, that's a cop out. He needs to get good. He needs to figure it out. He needs to experiment more in the game.
We've officially done it, folks. We've officially gotten a Pokemon get good.
Yeah, but I want to go back to Ben's point because I find that interesting. Like the intellectual or like the brain tickles of your, you know, different video games. And I know for me that Pokemon was a self-soothing mechanism growing up, and it wasn't.
Mom and Dad are arguing in the kitchen and Mike has his Game Boy sitting in the couch,
yeah, just zoning out. And it, for me, it wasn't an OCD of you know, needing to collect them all. I think Arceus is the first time I've ever completed a Pokedex. I never was in for, like, because I knew that I would have to spend time for, like, just, you know, Pokemon that I didn't want. I would have to, like Matt's coworker, you know, grow the happiness of certain Pokemon that were just like doo-doo trash. So I just, you know, found the open world and, like, you know, leveling up the Pokemon that I did like, and trying out different teams and whatever, doing the battles, like, that was soothing to me growing up. And it, you know, I didn't have that same feeling or, you know, the smoothness of the execution of that loop for me of, like, you know, exploring the world, you know, I mean, you know, obviously playing the story, doing the story, the battles, you know, the equivalent of their gym leaders, the, like, whatever they call them, like team captains or
captains,
you know, that didn't have that same soothing effect.
I think of these games very much as, like, they are a war of attrition. And for me, it's just, I never finished a Pokemon game, even when I loved Pokemon at its most. Like, I just eventually get bored of doing these same encounters. And, like, for me, I like to have new experiences in my gaming pretty frequently as I'm playing a game. And I just don't.
But
this one is just like, keep doing it, go, just do it.
The inner hater in me, and just to bring out the hate of this week, wants to point out that I like different gameplay loops but play sports games.
Listen, that's the situations within those games, like, change every time. Like, no particular play works the same way. No,
but it's also like, it's okay to like different.
I'm just having loops fun.
For, no, I know. Yeah, I was totally ready for you to come with that. I knew someone was going to bring up that I love sports games, but I don't think it's repetitive in the same way. There's still like a mastering of timing in a skill fashion. There's like figuring out how to link together dribble.
This beams. Whole debate can also be actually to the point where it's like, well, all games are the same because if you break them down to the point of their code, it's just fucking numbers on a screen, doik.
But I think it's okay to like different gameplay loops for different reasons and like different to hit different brain tickles, you know, to be engaged and challenged and won and to be like soothed or, you know, get out your OCD anxieties.
Yeah, like I can enjoy some, I can enjoy some sports games because the gameplay is the same every time, but it's like a self-imposed skill challenge. It would be something like I try to do this cool move. I try to do like a over the shoulder rainbow kick, you know, in FIFA. I try to do like these crazy
It's FC 24 now.
Whatever. You know, like I do all these things, right? You know, so it's they exist, but then I get tired of them and I put them down.
Yeah.
Like, or I'll win the World Cup or I'll win a Super Bowl and then I put it down. But to be honest, I haven't played like a sports game that in depth since we did our episode on sports ball games where I played part of a career in FIFA, but then even that I didn't finish.
Sports games aren't as good as they used to be. Was the conclusion of that episode.
For a lot of those reasons, but like there were times where I enjoyed it a lot. Like when we all lived together in the Upper West Side, Andrew and I loved making gigantic fat quarterbacks.
Yes.
And Madden, it was like the
RIP to the hefty lefty.
Yeah, it was just like trying to make the biggest, fattest quarterback and win a Super Bowl with him. Like that was the
part of Ben's routine for one of those years was like waking up, managing his team for a bit, shower, you know, smoking, showering,
and then
getting ready
for
class. Like
no, it's like there are different times and I get it. And but like
someone did a breakdown on the rises of sports games coincide with like a rising recession.
Because they're always there. They're always available. They're all reliable. They don't change much. Yeah, speaking of gameplay loops that don't change, like that's the thing is mechanically they don't change. But yeah, I feel like with something like that, there is a skill based thing where I guess this is a decent transition into talking more about the combat. Cause like I was the first one to actually see this game and I recommended it to Mike to check it out. Cause everything I had seen about it was that, the combat is way more deep. Tactical, and there are the, you know, with the fusions and then the whole interaction systems. So like examples like you use a fire type against a plastic type and the plastic type breaks down and becomes poisoned, the fire against an ice type becomes a water type, fire against a water type creates like a healing vapor type thing. So it's like there are these interactions at play that seemed to would be interesting, but like I've seen some people say like, they actually went too far and there are too many interactions and it gets too unwieldy to try to actually wrap your head around and have it be meaningful. But on the other end, I was like, I didn't feel the need to engage with it. You know, you just find effective move and boom, it's dead. You know? It was like, it still boiled down to one type better against this type and move is equivalent to super effective. And
the depth of rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. I mean, hey,
And so it boils down to the same thing as the Pokemon
Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem is basically rock, paper, scissors, but that has some actual tactics to it because of positioning and grid based shit. But like
Fire Emblem also has characters that, you want to spend the rest of your life with and then tragically lose and can't be with ever again.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, the The only thing that I liked about the combat that I thought was interesting tweak on the Pokemon combat was the fact that it was action points versus moves with PP.
Yeah, that was another tactical element to it, right? Is that like do you spend your action points on a higher move now, like on a higher move now, or do you do a lower power move to then build up? Because it's not like a
and some required
it builds by turn. So yeah. Like you like, okay, I'm going to do something small now to build up to a bigger, be able to do a bigger move later on. And like, yeah, like I was watching again,
and the do setup moves,
the final battle, which was, this was really the nail in the coffin for the combat for me. It was like a two stage battle. You fight like the main villain with like, it's you and your normal single companion. Cause there are other people, other players, like cassette beast champions, whatever they call them, that become part of your team, and you can like build up relationships with them. They're the ones that you're in partnership with, and
heroes.
Yeah, and do your fusions with. And so you're there with one, and you fight the guy in basically like a regular battle. And that was the one where they just like you fused the thing, they proc'd burn and poison, and you know, most of the damage was done outside of turns. Then it breaks up. There's a cutscene. All the Archangel bosses that you fought throughout the game are brought in with the big bad, and then all your teammates are there, and you all respectively fuse together into the one big thing. And so it seemed really cool, like that when you then look at your moves, it's like the characters' names, like Felix's something, whatever's, I don't remember any of the other names.
Actually, that's also aping Digimon when they fuse to make Omnimon to save the world.
So it's like they create all these moves, and it's like each one is like going to have these different things that you could tactically do. And it was like, you know, build up your defense, your evasion. And then there's just one that just builds your AP generation. And then because there's a mega move that is also there that like you have to have a full AP bar to do. So the dude is like, that I'm watching this video of, he's like looking at some of the other ones like, oh, do I do this one? Do I do the increase evasion? Nope. I just keep doing the increase AP generation until I get the full bar. And then I one shot the big boss. And it's just like, it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, you know, they have all these moves that like could work interestingly, and that you've got to like increase your evade at first and then your attack and all these things to boost up your stuff. And it's just like, nope, just tank a little bit of damage while you're building up your AP and unleash the big move. And yeah, so the real final boss, he used two different moves. The one to build it, and then the mega move, and that was it. I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. This is stupid.
I don't know, man. That sounds pretty strategic. Some strategery there.
We're literally
the same
babies.
Way that it takes strategy to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And put on socks.
Yeah. That was like, okay, whoever says that this is tactically deep and engaging combat needs to get sent to the re-education camp.
In Minecraft.
It's just like, what the fuck are we talking about here? You know? I was like literally mouth agape, just like what the fuck?
It still was just as simple as Pokemon, you know.
Yeah.
Or any of the arguments that Pokemon has like a tactical system, which I'll stand behind some of them. There's a baseline tactical system. If you want to, you know, do more than just one shot, you know, if you choose to go that route.
But you don't, like, that's the thing. It's not tactical unless you have to do that.
Yeah. No, you're.
If there is just
a
one
different
meta,
strategy,
that's not a thing. Then, people are like, yeah, like, Game Freak needs to sit up and, you know, pay attention to what's going on here. They need to learn from this. I'm like, what the fuck are they going to do?
No, so they can learn one thing. One thing they could learn for this, that Pokemon fans will buy a 2D, 3D game. and they could sell that and they could spend less money. I don't
even know what the sales for this game even were.
But it was like, you know, whatever they are, you could project them out that like this is an indie game doing this. If Nintendo was doing it, if they re-released a remastered version of one of their DS games or something that was better than fucking Diamond and Pearl, they did a Game Boy style version that they would fucking sell enough to, you know, support whatever fucking money they dump into doing that, which would probably be pennies for them.
But that would require them caring about what the Pokemon fans want.
No, it's them caring about money. It's a quick win.
I don't think so. I think they're more about minimizing cost and maintaining the status quo, because you all are so browbeaten, and you know you're basically you're constantly being cuckolded by the Pokemon.
You need
company.
To seize the means of monster collection.
Yeah, we're trying to
redistribute it amongst the proletariat.
Actually, a lot of the hack ROMs are still going. No issue. That's a harder one for them to win on.
Yeah, even the little plot summary on the Wikipedia page is like half a paragraph.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I mean, while you're on the wiki, while you're looking at that, like, what are the sales? Are you able to
see anything?
Find it?
All I see is reception. All I see is like reviews. Overwhelmingly positive on Steam, 84 Metacritic. Yeah. Of course, there were Switch-specific performance issues. Who'd have thunk?
I found something. I don't know. It's not on the VG Insights.
Yeah, it's not on the...
It's not on that page. Yeah, 196k units sold on
Steam. Yeah, 2.9 million gross revenue. Average gameplay is 32.9 hours.
I definitely brought that average down.
Yeah. Active players, 78 minutes ago was 153.
There are so this was a two-person development team, which is
pretty impressive.
I'd say pretty impressive, yeah. For a game like titled Cassette Beast, what did you think of the music? I know Matt, you've got high standards for game OSTs.
It wasn't by any means the best video game music I've ever heard, but it didn't like. It was better than just shutting it off. Like that's a standard.
I'd agree with Matt. I thought it yeah. Could have been better. But
it was just acceptable. Kendrick dissing Aubrey in the background the whole time.
On loop.
I just don't think that they did enough with the the music with the music elements of it to make sense.
I mean,
I wouldn't listen
to this soundtrack. There are plenty of video games whose soundtracks I do listen to,
which I know a lot of people do, but I've never been one of those people. I should maybe do that.
You don't know life until you're driving home on a Friday afternoon listening to the Final Fantasy VII battle theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely do some work listening to like Elden Ring or something.
Yeah.
You see, the problem with that is if I'm listening to boss music from Elden Ring, I'm going to start hitting like enter keys to be like parrying or rolling.
It'll just bring, bring back traumatic memories.
Break the enter key because you're just too anxious.
Go into a psychosis state where it looks like SolidWorks has turned into Elden Ring and I'm playing Elden Ring and SolidWorks.
You create Melania in SolidWorks.
Accidentally creates a perpetual motion machine. I will say I do want to give them props on the fact that they let you do local two player. I think that's a pretty fun addition. Always gonna shout out.
What does somebody co-op. Take control of the companion?
Yeah.
Even in exploration?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that must make some of those like little puzzles a little bit easier. I was seeing some people complain about like, yeah, there are some puzzles where it's like you're trying to like, you know, weigh down a platform. Which
one to open a cave that you need to put rocks on switches and stand on one of them. Having a second person would have negated the need for an additional rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were annoying.
And so it was like, yeah, like, is there a way to like, they were asking like for single players, is there a way to control your little companion? And the answer was no. But yeah, I actually didn't even know it had.
The answer is yes. You just need to have two controllers connected. And
there you go.
Be doing what Miyamoto did for the Smash Bros. Showcases. I don't know if any of you remember what
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, playing two controllers, one with each hand.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute king. Man has mastered his craft.
Yo, imagine pulling up on someone and be like, yo, I'm going to beat you in Smash. And they pull out two controllers per hand, and you're like, wait, what?
Game over.
My man's playing Ice Climbers with every character.
Wait, Mike, you got anything else for us?
So we've almost hit our hour.
Yeah.
We need to fill like 3 to 5 minutes more.
Hey, Mike, what have we learned about this game in the games that you'll pick next year? We're gonna put a kibosh on no more Pokemon or Pokemon likes.
Unless it's Digimon.
We need to pick Mike's game tomorrow.
Final Fantasy 16.
No, you gotta pick a game that you've played already. That's like the easiest way.
That's
to
what
do
I'm
it.
Saying. So I have the ability to play it.
No, because then you might still play it and be like, yeah, this is fucking dog shit. You gotta pick something that you're passionate about. That's because that's what differentiates these episodes from the regular ones.
I don't have
passion.
Okay, we're turning this podcast ending into a therapy session.
Yeah, that's something to work on.
We're going to find your passion.
Gotta work on that, bud.
Now Pokemon makes sense.
Oh god.
I mean, the games that I enjoy that are like different from games that you guys would like also play and then I would probably play after are like self-soothing games. It's Forza, it's Pokemon, running around in Assassin's Creed, just killing people. Same in Elden Ring.
I would prefer Assassin's Creed.
I'd play Assassin's Creed. I own a bunch of them. There are a bunch of them like actually trying to play. Like I want to actually go back and play.
Do you own them though? Do you really own them?
Oh, do I? You're probably correct. Yeah, no, I don't actually because they're digital. I do want to play. Go back and actually play and finish Unity because that was where I fell off. And then Syndicate.
I definitely would do
people loved Syndicate. You hear a lot of apologia for Syndicate.
Is it Black Flag the last one that people were
goated.
Yeah,
that's the pirate
I don't
one.
think I've ever played that one. I might, that might be one. I have it.
They're doing a remake.
I don't own it, but I own
they're
it.
Doing a remake of it.
Well,
yeah, people are like talking about, people were talking about when Skull and Bones came out, just like, and I think there were more players in Steam playing Black Flag than Skull and Bones. And it's just like Skull and Bones, like, you know, still clears fucking Black Flag, which is, you know, like over 10 years difference in their in their development, or the release at least. But like, I mean, I would even
and also
be willing to play like one of the newer ones, maybe except Valhalla, but like
Valhalla's
I would never try to expand on the fact
that we can make these episodes also haterific episodes, where we pick games that we hate and make other people play games that we hate.
That's that's too toxic. I don't want to get that way. I don't want to do that. But so like, that's why we have like, we leave open for, and it's like what differentiates these episodes from the ones where we're just doing them collectively is that oftentimes it's games that either none of us have played before or are replaying or something, but there's, yeah, there's room for the dissenting opinions. I mean, there's always room for dissenting opinions. We don't want the, we're not an echo chamber here, but you know, like we, for the these individual episodes, it's like supposed, it's like a soapbox, right? You know, it's for us to get up and talk about a game that we particularly care about. Which, like for me, I'm struggling. I have until December, so I've got time, but like I've got a few games that I'm trying to decide on.
Echo the Dolphin.
I thought I was gonna like this more than we were duped by the reviews and my love of Pokemon not translating to this.
Yeah. All right. I guess that does.
So hold on. I mean, to kill a little bit more time, and because I think this is interesting. Why the fuck, other than Pokemon fans being sickos, why do we think the reviews were 10 out of 10?
Like, that's what Andrew and I were saying, but no, but that is the reason, is because
corporate cronyism.
No, it's because you guys are so starved.
For the two-person developer.
They're buying reviews. No, it's just that like you guys are so starved for anything new, and like, because for all it's still all the flaws that still exist, like they did. You've got to get down nitty gritty and really look at, like, from a casual observer. For those of us who don't play Pokemon regularly, it is like, yeah, thing. These look exactly the same to me. It's the office. It's the same picture. But like, there are differences. They did, like, I watched a video yesterday that broke down. It's like five key things that, you know, Pokemon does wrong that Cassette Beast, you know, flips on its head and like, and takes in a bold new direction. Granted, I have even like less than 12 hours ago did I watch that video. I have completely memory hold it, like what those five things were, but
destroyed that recording.
But it's like, you know, that there are differences there. So they're like, oh my god, they've actually made Pokemon but good now. So like that's the reason why, is that they're so starved for something that's actually iterating in any capacity. So like we're saying, like, yeah, the iterations are not really big or noticeable at all. But to someone who only plays Pokemon and who has been, you know, coming to the self-realization that, yes, these games are bad, it's like, oh my god, it's fixed now. I can actually unashamedly, you know, talk about a game that, you know, that is good.
But someone who's only known tap water, Dasani feels luxurious.
Yeah. That's everything. That whole screed that I just went on perfectly condensed into that little, little
metaphor. Is that the episode title? Oh,
yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. There you go. Can't say it better than that.
Yeah. No, we got to end on that. That was.
All right, folks.
I'm in awe.
Feel free to follow us on all the social medias. You can see me dunking on fucking lib idiots from our Twitter account, and you can also support us by following at twitch.tv/campaignconrades. those prime subbies, you know, aren't going anywhere. So maybe send one our way. You never know. But we will see it in the next.
Subscribe with mine.
We'll see you in the next one. I believe we are doing. Is it a tabletop episode next week? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're we gotta.
Yeah, Andrew and I helped Andrew build his character yesterday. We're doing a Call of Cthulhu session. Matt's coming over today, so maybe we'll build his character. Mike, when are we building your character? I'm putting you on the podcast to hold you accountable.
I could do tomorrow earlier.
Yeah, we'll do tomorrow.
Could do Monday.
We'll do it tomorrow. All right.
Okay.
Be on the lookout.
One stipulation, Mike. This character is not allowed to wield some form of hand crossbow, short bow.
It would be a little bit anachronistic to be a ranger, to be a rogue of that kind. You could be a criminal that does
Cthulhu. Yeah,
those things do exist. But
all right. I was just saying, make sure it's at least a pepper box or
All right.
No, it's just gonna be a wire.
He's gonna be
piano string,
acrobating people with piano wire. All right, folks. So you have that to look forward to for next week. And we still have to decide on our adaptation for the month. So maybe we'll decide that once we start recording. But we will leave you in suspense.
Folks, remember, it's Let's Go Knicks because Matt's mental health rides on it.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.